and Revenue is open. Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to begin today in order of the agenda and open up a public hearing on two bills, Senate Bill 161 and 162. The State Treasurer is with us today with Michael Parker. You guys can join us while Kyle gives us an overview of both bills.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Yes, Senate Bill 161 and 162 are both relating to 529 accounts. So SB 161 is creating a personal income tax credit for contributions of to 529 higher education savings accounts or ABLE accounts. There is a framework that's specified in SB 161 for how the credit would work. It'd be a function of AGI. Right now, it is still a framework. There are some blanks in the bill. It would also be making some changes to the limits on the existing loss subtraction for the 529 subtraction. Again, that's a framework. Again, it's not specified yet what that change would be. And the modifications for the credit or the creation of the credit would be for tax years 2020 through 2025. And then the modification to the subtraction would be tax years 2020 and forward. So no sunset date on the change to the subtraction. And then Senate Bill 162 is allowing a personal income taxpayer at the time of their tax filing, so when they file their personal income taxes, to establish a 529 education savings account at that time via the return. So when they're filing the tax return, they'd have a way to set up an account and then also deposit any tax refund that they're receiving into that account. There are there's language of possibly allowing the Treasurer's Office to require all of that refund or part of that refund to go into that newly established 529 account. And that is for tax years 2021 forward.
And can you give us the caps that would be on 161 and how that would work?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. So the way it's set up right now is the new credit would be, again, it's going to be a specified dollar amount of the contribution, and then it's set up by AGI. So the first AGI block, so to speak, is $30,000 or less. And then at the $30,000 to $70,000 range, the amount of the credit is going to be 50% of the contribution into the account or the specified amount. So there could be a hard cap in there. Again, those aren't specified yet. The next category is 70 to 100,000, which is 25% of the amount contributed, and then anything over 100,000, there is no credit available. So in that case, you'd still have the subtraction available to you, but no credit available above 100,000 AGI. And then again, that change to the existing loss subtraction, that's the framework's in there, but there's no specified change to what that cap would be and what the subtraction could be going forward.
Okay. Treasurer Tobias Reed.
Chair. Committee members, thank you for hearing these two bills. I'm Tobias Reed. I have the honor of serving as State Treasurer. I'm here with Michael Parker, the Executive Director of the Oregon Savings Network. As you know, the Treasury manages the state's portfolio, including our various debt mechanisms, but we also manage three important savings programs. The ABLE Savings Program and Oregon Saves, which are worthy of their own conversation, and the College Savings Plan, which is what we're here to talk with you about today. I want to run through quickly the thinking behind these bills, and then I hope it can be the beginning of a conversation. I know that the point of today's action is potentially to move it to the Tax Credit Committee, but I think it's worthwhile to give you a sense of what we're aiming at. And I appreciate the description Kyle gave, because it very much is a framework that we're trying to introduce here. I know that you all know about the importance of college savings plans. We've been at this a while in Oregon, in total allowing Oregonians to save more than $3 billion towards the cost of post-secondary education. And you must have heard me talk at some point about the impact that having a college savings plan has. A person who has an account in their name is three times as likely to go to college and four times as likely to graduate from college, regardless of how much is in the account. So we're really trying to turn compound interest into an ally here in the form of savings, rather than the less positive feeling too many Oregonians are familiar with, compound interest working against them in the form of debt. By helping people get access to an account early on, we're trying to give them the means and the mindset that can take them a long distance. These are really the beginnings of conversations because there are a lot of people who have accounts and there are a lot of dollars, but we want to make sure that every kid in Oregon has access to these accounts regardless of their parents' income, regardless of where they live. We want every geographic and demographic corner of the state to be participating in these accounts. And so I also want to recognize that while your agenda says Senate Bill 161, this concept is reflected in a couple of places, both this bill and a different bill, House Bill 2387, where we are proposing to replace the existing tax deduction in its entirety and add the refundable credit that's described here. What we really think is we want to give the legislature a couple of options to take this question on and recognize the challenges that you face in terms of developing a budget and the revenue proposals that will undoubtedly be before you both here in the House and eventually in the joint committee. So whatever vehicle ends up making sense, I hope that this will be the beginning of the conversation about how to make sure that college savings accounts are accessible and relevant and that the incentives are appropriate for the entire revenue spectrum. And Mr. Chair, I'd be glad to stop there and take questions or respond to your points, or I can also describe a little bit of Senate Bill 162.
Questions on 161 of Treasurer Reed? Why don't you go ahead and do 162?
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, committee members, Senate Bill 162 is just another example of how we're trying to make it easier for people to get started saving. It's already the case that taxpayers can direct some or all of their tax refund toward a college savings account. We want to make it easier for them to establish a savings account. One of the things that is often the barrier to people doing that is the need to gather relevant data, names, dates of birth, social security numbers, and so on. So what better time than when that that information is already all together than to check a box and say, I'm interested, and give our team the chance to connect with that person at a later date saying, we understand you're interested. We have some of the information we need and get that account set up. It's modeled on a similar program that the state of Alaska administers with their permanent fund dividend. And it's just another example of how we're trying to get people, we're trying to remove barriers and help people get started saving earlier.
So they check a box and it sets what into motion?
What we're proposing is that that would set essentially send an alert to the Oregon Savings Network, and depending on the details of the arrangement we're working on with the Department of Revenue, some of that data would be given to the Savings Network, who could then say to that person, we understand you're interested in opening an account. Here's the information we have. Here's the other information we need. Let's go forward.
Mr. Parker, did you?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Michael Parker, Executive Director of Oregon Savings Network. Nothing really to add. Just to say that with the tax credit idea, we're really looking at account opening instead of total assets. If that's a good way to say this, while we need total assets and that's important, it really is about someone having an account. And we're engaged in a number of projects now where we're looking at funding accounts or doing a match or a seed of $25, let's say, when your child is born or when your child enters kindergarten. And what we've seen over time is we could invest, you know, $50,000 in a number of these accounts and it turns into millions. We're looking at doing that on a grander scale with a potential tax credit. So giving someone the ability to put money in, get the credit, and then at that point, then they take over and actually make the contributions and keep the account going. So we've seen this work over time in our current programs. We just want to take that to the next level.
Very good. Questions on 61 or 162? Everybody loves both bills.
Experienced group, Mr. Chair. Far. No questions.
Yeah,
that's it. All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Something else? Forgive me.
Senator Benson?
The total cost.
Mr. Chair, Senator Benz, that feels weird to say that, by the way. Representative Benz feels a little more common, but it depends on what we fill in those blanks. We want to be sensitive to the competing needs that the legislature is going to face. And frankly, that's something we're looking forward to working with LRO on. We've not been able to narrow in on those numbers at this point.
Based on past history?
Mr. Chair, Senator Benz, we want to get that number from additional analysis. It's I would be speculating fairly wildly if I have some orders of magnitude ideas, but we want the help of the experts at LRO.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would just encourage you having this extensive discussion with Department of Revenue. I mean, just the first puzzling thing that jumps out at me is I'm not sure how the state of Alaska is doing this treasurer, in which or what they're transferring in data. I mean, this is like the Fort Knox secret of the world when you're dealing with federal tax return or state tax return in either case. And so when they check a box and now suddenly your tax return can be, information can be given over to the treasurer's office or to one of these programs, seems to run anti-FEMA to the standard boilerplate expression we get from DOR. Like, we can't share anything. We can't do anything. And then I would also point out that just checking a box is costly at the Department of Revenue, because just creating the box on the form and then checking the box and then the computer change in our vastly fine 21st century, 18th century, 19th century computer system, right, means that just that food chain, I would be almost as worried as Senator Benz is. He's worried about cost and revenue. It's just the cost to get the computer to make it do what you want it to do might be horrendous too.
Senator Boquist, I take your words seriously. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the hearing on Senate Bills 161 and 162. Thank you, Kyle. I'm going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 215. This is the annual revisor's bill. Alan Dale is here with us. Chris, any opening summary statements?
Mr. Chair, just the point that there aren't any, these are all technical changes, there aren't any substantive changes. All of the changes come from LRLC, and Alan can probably describe the process of how they identify these things throughout the course of the biennium.
Okay, Mr. Dale.
For the record, Alan Dale, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel, and can walk through the sections if you'd like explanations.
I think that probably makes the most sense.
Okay. So, right. So, sections one and two do the same thing. The series having to do with the historic property special assessment was put in the wrong place. It was categorized as a partial exemption rather than a special assessment, which is what it is. So the series number was just moved within the same subsection. sections 3 through 6 all have to do with taking the FASIT out of the net income tax statutes. The federal program doesn't exist anymore, so we took out the references to it and references to statutes that referenced it. So some of them are just taking cross references out. Then sections 7 and 8 have to do with deferral of deductions for purposes of net income taxes. If you want more detail, your legislative revenue officer can help.
Okay. I think part of this was in 09, and we were just looking at this before committee, and in 09 and 10, we disconnected from certain provisions. There's some section 179 expensing and some bonus depreciation, and that created a difference in the timing of when those deductions were taken between the federal level and the state level. And so, for example, maybe the bonus depreciation might be the easiest to cite, where in tax years 2009 and 2010, the feds had passed bonus depreciation. We disconnected from that provision. So in those years, businesses were claiming a larger depreciation deduction at the federal level than what we were allowing in the Oregon level. And then in later years, it kind of caught up, so it reversed, so that the Oregon deduction was larger than the federal deduction. So I think the timing of that has just run out, and that's why how it got put in here.
Okay. Are we also discussing the Dash 1 amendments? Okay. I can explain these, but if you don't fall asleep, you'll probably hate me when I'm done. So this is about 315-506. It was renumbered in 2017 from 285C-309. It was part of a series, 285C-300 to 285C-320, which means that the definitions in 285C-300 applied to it until it was renumbered. It was added to the chapter 315, and so it was cut off from all the definitions. And so the easiest fix, as you can see, is just to list all the definitions from 285C300 that are used in 315.506 and cross-reference 285C300.
I remember being locked in a room for about 18 months with this guy. And he said, well, he and his cohort said, well, no, we shouldn't put those definitions like this in there. We should just cite some other, I don't know, 329, 619, 716. And you're just saying, no, we should just put them all back, something put back in because it's too hard to figure out where their cross reference, right?
This is series theory is probably the most like monastic, obscure aspect of drafting in LC, and that was my explanation was an example of
it. I do have one. Sorry, Council, did you have a summer at all?
A summer?
Yeah.
Remember. Possibly.
All right.
I just, other than some English and grammar questions about some of these changes, I don't have any issues. This is one of the easiest revisor bills that we've seen. Probably didn't feel that way to you, but
no, it's short for us too.
Yeah,
we noticed, and we even some of these. I think some of the recommendations came from the Department of Revenue, so we were beefing it up as much as we could.
Okay, so we'll get that amendment. And
okay, forward.
Thank you, Al.
Sure.
And close the hearing on Senate Bill 215. Let's introduce our bill. We have a property tax bill that the committee would like to introduce.
Mr. Chair, yes, it's LC 3495, and it's an OLS. And what this LC does is it removes Measure 50, and only Measure 50, from the Constitution, and then refers it to, it's a resolution, so it would be referred to the voters.
Yeah. Senator Benz?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is one of those I'd rather not touch.
Senator Taylor, would you make a motion?
It's I motion. Can I have the language here? Make sure I say it right. Oh, okay.
There we go.
Oh, see.
I don't think that's it.
I don't think that is.
No,
it is.
Yeah, that's not it.
Oh, that's not it.
Don't read that. I'm perfectly happy to say that.
It's just the move that the committee.
But what is, I don't see the committee bill. Oh, there it is, LC. I move that LC 3495 be introduced as a committee bill.
Senator Taylor moves that LC 3495 be introduced as a committee bill. Discussion? Objections? See none. The bill is introduced. And I will open up another work session, or I will close that work session, open up a work session for the purpose of moving all of these bills, including the 161 that we just heard, to the Tax Expenditures Committee, since that is what they all do. And I don't know that we need to go through all of them, but we certainly could.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move the following bills: SB 147, SB 161, SB 195, SB 196, SB 197, SB 198, SB 199, SB 200, excuse me, SB 201, SB 202, SB 203, and SB 204, without recommendation as to passage, and to be returned to President's desk for referral to another committee.
Senator Benz moves the following bills, SB 147, SB 161, SB 195, SB 196, SB 197, SB 198, SB 199, SB 200, SB 201, SB 202, SB 203, and SB 204, without recommendation as to passage, and be returned to the President's desk for referral to another committee, the Tax Expenditure Committee. Is there any discussion on this? See none. Any objections? See none. And we'll see those bills, all of us, on the Tax Expenditure Committee, which will begin meeting in a few weeks or months. And I think that clears out our agenda today, Senator Boquist.
I just want to remind things, because my esteemed colleague to my left didn't happen to mention that when we introduce committee bills, we're introducing them for future discussion and don't necessarily reflect a vote by any particular committee member on a particular issue.
Okay. Anything else, Senator Taylor? Are you okay?
Yes, thank you for having us today.
It's a charming day.
All right. That clears out our deck. We are adjourned.